Welcome to the Ion Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, I would like to offer you a chance to speak on this podcast, but I'm going to rescind it. That's topical.
Yeah, weird kind of deal there in Sacramento where they offered Iguodala 4 years, $52 million. Originally said 56, I think, was the original offer stated. So dropped it down a little bit, down to, I guess, 13? 13.
Yeah.
But, and then basically said, hey, we need a decision. He was like, well, I'm going to think about it. And then they were like, okay, never mind then. Thanks, though.
You know, this is just like this typical Maloof, Jeff Petrie. Oh, wait a second.
Wait, hold on.
Wait, that's weird. I thought those guys were gone.
I don't have as much of a problem with it. Obviously, Iguodala did by tweeting last night, oh, wow, and then, okay, motivation.
Like, I mean, motivation to what? Like, no one's going to run their offense through you, Iggy. I mean.
Right? It's like, what are you going to drop 40 on them? Is that what you're going to do?
You're going to shut down a rookie, Ben McLemore? Like, I mean,
congrats. That's the thing is he won't. Like, after watching him, the guys that he doesn't have a scouting report on, he just ignores. He basically says, I'm not going to pay attention until you've proven that you're something worth paying attention to, because he just let Bradley Beal shoot from the corner all the time versus the Wizards last year. Like, I was like, you realize I'm like pointing. I was like, are you going to go guard that guy? And nope, he just wandered off.
I would be pissed if I were him, because nobody wants to have a contract offered and then not have it, like, and then just have it rescinded because they're like, oh, you took 45 minutes or whatever it was. But also for them, I understand, like, that's a lot of money to tie up for the next week.
Yeah.
You know, like, whether, like, if he makes his decision tomorrow or if it takes him a few days, that is a lot of money. And I understand they could definitely use Iggy. Like, his veteran leadership, his ability, his defense, like, they could use it. So it would be a smart get for them. But I understand, like, kind of having a little bit of buyer's remorse in the sense of, oh, do we really want to tie up $13 million in cap room for the next few days?
I also feel like Pete D'Alessandro is like, look, man, we don't have a plan B. We're the Kings. Like, you know, if you say no, it's not like we're going to go out and be like, oh, don't worry, we're going to bring in another star. We're the Kings. It's like, well, no, okay, I guess next year is when we'll have the ability to sign anybody. Like, you become more likely to overpay somebody worse if Iguodala doesn't sign, because then the fan base is like, well, you offered all this money, why didn't you go get anybody? Did you want us to overpay for, I don't know, do you want us to spend $13 million on Kyle Korver? Is that what you want?
Do you want a $10 million J.R. Smith?
Right, because we can go get J.R. if you want. We can go give J.R. $13 million. He'll come along. You're Wolves, man. I was on a plane. Every time I got off a plane, I looked down and the Wolves assigned five new people.
They're moving and shaking. I have mixed feelings about it. I'm happy because I think they were 24th or 25th in offense last year. Now, granted, that's almost everything to do with injuries. Like, they didn't have their best player. Ricky Rubio, you know, it was 3 or 4 months into the season before he was really good. Peck was up and down. Kirilenko was up and down with injuries. They had a plethora of more injuries other than that. Like, that's why the offense was so bad. However, even the guys who went healthy, like, they weren't shooting threes well. So there's a big necessity for offense and for shooting. Now, this is going to end up coming at the cost of Andre Kirilenko, which sucks. Unless they can figure out a sign-and-trade for Kevin Martin and then a long-term deal for less money for Kirilenko. This looks like, you know, Kirilenko's last days were in April with the Timberwolves. But they addressed needs. Like, they retained Chase Budinger, who's a great shooter. And I don't think the 32% he shot last year is indicative of his ability in 23 games where, you know, 75% of them were coming off a knee injury. And they got Kevin Martin, who I'm not crazy about. He pouts when things don't go his way and the team's losing, and that there's potential for that here. But he can score. Like, he is a guy that scores the basketball. He's going to be the third option. So having him as a third option is a really good thing. And he gets he doesn't get the free throw line as much as he used to, but he gets to the free throw line. And he can hit outside shots. Like, I like where they're going. It sucks that they have no one who can defend now. Like, that's going to be a really fun team and a really frustrating team, because unless their team defense and their defensive schemes are on point every night, that team's not stopping anybody.
Well, we thought that last year, and they played pretty well, but I guess that's the Kirilenko question. So I'll ask you, are you surprised? And obviously, I think it seems like you are. Are you disappointed that they did not bring back Kirilenko?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, I think at Flip's introductory press conference, you kind of got the sense that Kirilenko wasn't a top priority if he opted out. And they were kind of, I think they were kind of secretly hoping he would opt out just so they had the cap space to go after guys. They went after, you know, J.J. Redick. They went after Kyle, or they didn't go after Korver. They went after J.J. Redick. They've talked to O.J. Mayo. They talked to Dunleavy. Like, they wanted shooters. Like, they have very specific, a very specific checklist to go after. I am disappointed because Kirilenko, it's not just that he's a good defender. Like, the guy's just a good teammate and a good leader. Like, you're not going to find anybody out there on the free agency market who is as smart of a player as he is for what you need him to do. And that kind of sucks. Like, that guy, like, even just like for me personally, like talking to that guy after games to have him explain things that happen, it's probably like talking to Mozart about music. Like, it, that guy is just, you learn so much from interviewing him. That's kind of a bummer, and it's a bummer that the team doesn't have that influence anymore, or most likely won't have that influence anymore. But it was kind of, you could kind of see it coming.
Yeah, there's no rock defensively for them anymore.
Right. You know, I mean, the
team schemes were better than expected last year.
Yeah.
But they don't have that guy where you're like, everything's going to be fine. We've got this dude.
Pekovic, you know, they'll most likely re-sign Pekovic or match whatever offer he gets. I'm like 95% sure that's going to happen. And he was a much improved defender. Like, his pick and roll defense was really good last year. He was in much better positioning, and he doesn't block shots, but he gets in the way. That's a big guy to get in the way. And now if you can add Kevin Love as a rebounder behind that, that's a really good way to end defensive possessions. But Ricky Rubio is your best point or your best defender. And, you know, I'm all for point guard defense. I think Rubio's going to have a monster season defensively. But that's not good because the way the rules are set up defensively, Rubio will get broken down either on a pick and roll or in isolation. Like, he can't stop a guy every single time. And when that happens, where the hell does the help come from, and where do the rotations go? Like, that's going to be a brutal part of their season. But I feel like they're talented enough, and if they're healthy, that's a 7th or 8th seed in the West. And a team that scores, you know, 108 points per 100 possessions that gets into the end of the Western Conference Finals, like, at this point, I'll take it. Like, I'm no longer in this, like, I don't, I've never really felt this way, but I don't feel any pressure or think the Wolves should feel any pressure to, like, oh, we've got to get a title contender by 2015, otherwise Kevin Love's going to walk. If he's going to walk, he's going to walk. And, like, I'm at peace with that. I don't really care. I mean, I care, but it doesn't bother me enough to where I'm like, I'm going to over-scrutinize every move they make at this point. Like, I just want a fun team who makes the playoffs. Like, we get to that point, they get established in that role, and then you see what moves you can make to adjust the roster. But at this point, you got to take that first step into the playoffs.
I applaud you for having reasonable expectations as a fan.
Nine seasons without the playoffs. Like, they haven't been good since 2005, 2006. Like, I mean, they were kind of good then and still didn't make the playoffs. Like, at this point, it's just enough is enough. Like, I just want to see a fun team that actually, like, translates to, I don't know, 45 wins.
Don't suck.
Yeah, just don't suck. Just don't, like, and probably this is the one year where it's awful to try to get out of the lottery. But, I mean, at this point, like, good God. Let's just get out of the lottery.
They don't need any more lottery guys. That time has passed. You have to move forward.
Yeah, I'm sick of caring about lottery night. Like, I just do. And if it means, like, they're not going to be a title contender in 2 years and Kevin Love walks, whatever. Just get to the playoffs next year. I'll be happy with that. I want to cover playoff games from my own bed. Well, not my own bed, but in my own backyard. Well, I don't have a backyard. 5 blocks away where the arena is.
Downtown. There you go.
Yeah, downtown.
I want to go downtown. I want to go where the people are.
I want to be downtown. I want to be within a brisk walk of some playoff games. What do you think of the moves? Are they dumb? I think they're a little dumb.
They're not genius, right? I think is the best way to describe them. It's like, they're not, Budinger's tough, I think, for me, because Budinger always seemed kind of like, wow, this guy's good. But then it's like, well, no, he really is pretty good. And he's athletic, which everyone doesn't really ever want to like no one goes to that. Like you can tell the guys that haven't watched him because they're like, oh, he's not athletic, and they're like, oh, because he's white. That's what you're saying, is he's white.
You can be a bad defender and still be pretty athletic.
I just got asked about it on a radio show, the fact that he shot 32% from three last year, and I was like, well, he was really hurt last year. But then I looked at 2011, and he shot 33%.
Yeah,
that's alarming to me. I'm
well, I think he shot like 36, 33, 40, 32 in an injury season.
Yeah, so it's like two good seasons. It's 37, 33,
yeah,
40, 32. And so it's like, okay, he could be a good three-point shooter, but if he's not, that there we go. We'll just go the results approach. If he shoots above 35% from three next season, it was a good signing. If he does not, it was a terrible signing.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy. The thing about him is, like, he's great at moving off the ball. The offense was better when he was on the floor. Now, that's not saying much, but like it was better when he was on the floor because you can see the space. Like the defense, whether we believe he's a good shooter or not, the defense does because they really had a hard time leaving him. And if you can put that out there in their, you know, in their minds with Kevin Love on the floor, you know, that's a big plus.
About Rednauer is still with them, right? He's not expired, right?
He's got one more year. I mean, the thought is they're going to move him, and him in a pick or him in Derek Williams for another wing, for a defensive wing.
Looking forward to that Rednauer, J.J. Barea, Kevin Martin. Don't know who their backup power forward is. Anthony Tolliver. Nope, he's not in Atlanta.
You could throw Derek Williams or Dante Cunningham out there.
Ooh, Derek Williams. And
ooh, no, small ball. Go Shabazz at the four.
I thought about that, but I was like, oh, you really can't do that. He's like 6'6". Like, that's not going to work.
Yeah, 6'6", but with a 6'11 wingspan.
Still 6'6".
That has stretch 3.5 written all over it.
Stretch 3.5. The Martin thing is interesting. Martin is – I've hit that part of my career where I'm like, well, no. Like, Kevin Martin, you know, just a couple of years ago was you know, was really good. And then I started thinking, like, that was like 6 years ago. It was like a long time ago when Kevin Martin was like the guy in Sacramento. And then I was like, well, yeah, but I mean, he's still got a lot of years left on him. Oh, nope, he's 30 and a half. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, he was pretty good last season. That's what's really crazy is, like, I mean, he averaged 14 points last season in not a lot of minutes, like 28 minutes.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, I could look this up, but I haven't looked it up. But someone in the comments on one of the A Wolf Among Wolves posts I did said he was like ninth in points per shot, so whatever that means, but I mean, I know what that means, but like, it's not like a huge stat, but he is still an efficient scorer,
so that's good. I worry about the same things you do with defensively. I'm interested to see where Kirilenko goes, because he could have a little bit of an impact on the title race depending on where he goes.
Yeah,
I'm disappointed in the Spurs for not keeping their cap space open to sign him.
I mean, Thiago did get that money. It's better. It was initially reported as 5 years, 45, and it's like, what are you doing? Then it, you know, it came out as it's 436, which is, you know, it's Jeff Green money. I don't know that I get it. I would never do that. If I was like, that just seems like a cap killer to me. And it's the Spurs, so we assume that it's a brilliant move, and we don't question them because they're the Spurs, but I don't like that move at all. Like, you could have gotten Andre Kirilenko. Like, that team would be better with Andre Kirilenko than Thiago Splitter.
The question that I get hit with is, but who? You have to say who. Who would they get? And my answer is anyone.
Anyone. Get Andre Kirilenko and then go find a backup center.
Like, if you offered Timofey Mozgov a considerable amount of money, the Nuggets aren't matching.
Right.
Like, Give Timofey Mozgov 3 years, 15, and that's overpaying for him, and you're still saving money, and you're getting basically the same player.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I hate to go down this road, Byron Mullins. Like, I that's how low I think of Thiago, where I'm like, it's not that I think that Thiago's not better than Byron Mullins. He's obviously better. It's that I don't care about paying for how much he's better.
Right.
Like, there's a point. The stuff that he does that makes him worth the $9 million versus 5 or 6 isn't valuable to me. It's like, okay, it has value in terms of you can do this, so you should get paid for it, theoretically, but I don't care about it. I don't care about that.
Go get Aaron Gray. Go get Samuel Downbear.
Like Aaron Gray would be great.
They're guys to get, yeah.
Aaron Gray is a reporter. I mean, he's... he is a bad reporter. That guy will work.
He is. He's a bad, bad reporter.
He's a bad reporter, you know? I would love to see them do... That's, if they were going to spend that money, they should have just gone above that and cleared space to offer Pekovic. Like, make some obscene offer to Pekovic and really make the Wolves have to think about it. Because if you put Pekovic with Tim Duncan, oh, God.
Jesus.
Everyone dies. That's the title to that movie. Duncan Pekovic, : everyone dies. Like, Nazi Mohammed. I'm looking at this. Zaza Pachulia is who they should have gotten.
Oh, Zaza would be great.
Yeah. Zaza's not as much of a reporter as Peck, but he's a reporter in his own right.
Oh, sure.
Everyone's like, what?
It's a Roy Hibbert thing. Don't worry about it.
It's a Roy Hibbert thing. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, we got. I had a request for us to talk about the Knicks' decision to get Bargnani. They were disappointed that we didn't touch on.
Oh, I forgot. It was so bad. I had already forgotten about it.
I wrote a thing that just basically, sometimes you write articles and they wind up being 1,000 words long, and you look back and you realize you could have done it in one sentence. I could have just written "Knicks gonna Nick," and that would have been that was the summation of my argument about the Bargnani deal. Like. Does them getting a second round pick matter? No. Does them having cap space matter? No. But I always talk about this. There's ways that you should run your business, and there's ways that you shouldn't. And sending assets, multiple assets that could be valuable theoretically in a future world, for a guy who doesn't do any of the things that you specifically need, and is overpaid. There's like 5 things wrong with that.
Right.
I'm a Bargnani guy. That's the weird part. Yeah. I'm the only guy that's been like, in the right system.
I think you and I have been pretty consistent of like, Raptors fans, calm down. Like, this guy can be good. He's being misused. Like, I think Bargnani is a good player. I think he's horribly misused with Toronto in many different ways. You were definitely on record with this. Like, I feel like he's a good player. However, that's a dumb trade because you were trading... You're saying, like, what is he going to do? He's going to be in the Steve Novak role. And, like, he is a better player than Steve Novak, but Steve Novak is a better Steve Novak.
Yep.
You know, like, I don't know. Like, I think if the Lakers had tried to acquire him last year, I think that would have been a good move because I think he works better in a D'Antoni-style system. But with the Knicks, like, you're just going to put him in the corner? Like, what? Why? Why
nobody puts Bargy in a corner?
why put an $11 million player in a corner? Like it doesn't make sense to me. And I think that it was a very Isaiah Thomas move. If they could have offered him like a 5-year extension on top of his 2 years, like that would have been the most Isaiah Thomas move they could have made.
Somebody was asking me about it, and they're like, "So explain this Bargnani." A friend just like who casually follows the NBA was asking me about it. He's like, "So tell me about the Bargnani thing. Like, what does he do?" And I was like, "Well, he's a shooter. What did he shoot last year? Well, 31% from three. What did he shoot from the floor? Well, 40%. Under that, 39.9. Like, okay, what else does he do? Like, what do the Knicks need? Well, they need rebounding. How's his rebound rate? Well."
Well, how tall is
he? Well, he averaged 4 rebounds last year.
Well, how tall is he? Well, he's 7 feet tall, and he only grabs that percentage of the rebounds. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, that's
like, well, what does he do well? Well, he can defend the post pretty well. Oh, so he's a good defender. Well.
it's like. So, what do you really like about him? Well, he can be really versatile. Oh, what's his PER? 11. Well. That should be the next slogan for next year, actually. Like, are the Knicks going to be good? Well!
Oh, he's the big man version of Wes Johnson. Now, hear me out.
Oh, man.
Hear me out.
Okay, we're going here.
This is nicer than I intended to be. Wes Johnson was like, what does he do well? Oh, well, he can cut off the ball and finish backdoor. Except he never did it. Well, what is he? He's a shooter, but he can't shoot. Well, he's a defender, but he always got burned. Like, there were so many things Wes Johnson was supposed to be able to do that he just never did, and Bargnani is kind of in that mold. Now, I think you can break him out of that mold pretty easily. Like, he's super talented, and, you know, I think it was the lockout season where he went, like, the first month he was on a tear. He looked like a completely different player. And then he kind of just reverted back to his ways, and the injury had something to do with that. But, like, I think you can break him out of that mold. I just think it's really hard to.
Like, the locker room is going to be different next year because JR may be gone and Kidd's going to be gone. But in general, that locker room is pretty tough.
Yeah.
If they bring back Kenyon Martin, I don't know how that's going to go over, man. He'll destroy Bargnani. Because that's part of it. You need to put Bargnani in, like, a safe, comfortable blanket and let him feel good about himself for a while to rebuild his confidence, which is just shot.
Well, and now you're going to have a team that you're trying – like, it was already hard enough to work Amari Stoudemire onto the floor. Mm-hmm. And Amari Stoudemire's, like, really good. And now you're going to try to work Bargnani also onto the floor? Like, how does that work?
You know, if they re-sign – let's say they re-sign JR, which the Bucks have a huge offer out for him. But let's say that they do. One of their bench units could wind up being – like, there's a definite possibility of a lineup next season featuring, like, Prigioni, JR Smith, Melo, Bargnani, and Amari. You could build a planet-sized engine to produce basketballs, and there wouldn't be enough.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds great for us.
Right. Because it sounds hilarious, which I'm excited about.
We're not Knicks fans, but my God. And, that's the thing. I like the Knicks team. Like, I like what they do. I you know, I'm all about, like, bomb from outside. I think that's where the NBA is now. Bomb from outside, have an ISO score, try to play defense. And I like what they do, in theory. It's just like, you're cluttering it up. Like, you need space, except you've got a guy who can't space the floor and he can't rebound. Like, where does he contribute? If he's not hitting shots, where does he contribute for you in that system? He makes great pasta commercials. I'll give him that.
I was just about to make the same joke. I gotta look this up real quick. Because my thought, my corollary thoughts is gonna get lost in this. Is I feel really bad for Marcus Camby.
Yeah, I mean, what else is he gonna say? But he had comments like right after the trade of, you know, I'm not upset or anything. I just, like, I'm disappointed I didn't get a chance to show Knicks fans like what I could do. Like, he thinks he can be a valuable, you know, backup in the league, and I think he can too if he's healthy. I mean, he's still good. He can still rebound. He's a decent defender still. Like, he's a good a good reserve player. And it sounds like
this is the sixth time that he's been traded in his career. The fourth time since 2008. The third since 2010.
You think on the road, instead of a suitcase, he just brings like a U-Haul box?
Just staying ready, guys. Just staying ready. He actually has like a one of those pods that you rent. It just follows him from town to town.
Yeah.
And, like, from his hotel room, he walks out like in his boxers. Shorts and changes into stuff.
He's got it attached to his car, and he pulls up to the arena. They're like, oh, Marcus, are you moving? He's like, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Could be. Oh, God. What else happened? Oh, the three-way deal.
Oh, yeah. What a great deal for the Clippers. I mean, I know the internet is crazy about Eric Bledsoe. I think he's good. I wouldn't build my team around him or with him necessarily. I think he'll be a good point guard. I don't know about great. He probably could very well be great, and I'm just underselling him. But you sell Eric Bledsoe and expiring Caron Butler, who probably wasn't good for your team anyway, for Jared Dudley and J.J. Redick? That's a steal.
Yep.
That's a great deal. And it's a great deal for Phoenix. You trade Jared Dudley and a second-rounder to get Eric Bledsoe, and now you've got this massive expiring contract with Caron Butler. Like, that's a great deal. And then Milwaukee. Well, they got two second round picks.
Yeah.
Good for them. I mean, one's coming from Phoenix, so that could be in the low 30s.
Here's the thing. I want to defend the Bucks moves because I've liked their front office for a while and felt like they've just been hamstrung by market and various, like, just bad luck. I understand the move for Redick last year. They really wanted to see if they could make a push. They wanted to see if we can max out this team, what does it look like?
Right.
You know, do we need to re-sign Jennings and Ellis? Because is there something hidden here that we haven't unlocked? And the answer was no. The answer to that question was no, not really. Thanks. Redick was never happy in Milwaukee. He wasn't going to re-sign there. They had to get something, and neither the Suns nor the Clippers were going to give up anything of value to the Bucks to get him, because they knew they could just the Clippers could just sign him.
Right.
So they got something for him. Their second round picks, which you can package to move up, so that's good.
And I mean, if you're smart, you can use those to grab a Chase Bunger, a Chandler Parsons. Like, you can grab really good players for cheap. Like, and that's how you can really maximize the draft.
Unless you're the Knicks. But on the flip side of it, now they're looking at J.R. Smith, and I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, I like John Hammond, and I'm just like, John, what are you doing? You're making critical errors here like the other John Hammond in Jurassic Park. Like, don't do this. Like, come on. not advisable. Come on, man. So I think it's fine. I like it from Phoenix a lot. I've taken Phoenix off of the potential teams that you can fleece board. Ryan McDonough is clearly no longer going to allow Phoenix to just be the team that everyone exploits. So he's off that board, and now, boy, this Joe Dumars Toronto Raptors rumor.
Oh, Charlie and who is it? It's Charlie Villanueva and somebody.
Oh, it's our boy.
Rodney?
Rodney.
Charlie Villanueva and Rodney Stuckey for Rudy Gay. Now, all right. I get the idea that the Raptors should try to hold out for a first-round pick, but the Pistons, I think, owe the Bobcats a first-round pick for the whole McGeddy-Ben Gordon deal. Is that right?
Yeah.
That sounds right. Which, my God.
Sometimes you say these trades out loud, and you're just like,
yeah.
How did this happen?
They got a year less. I mean, they gave them whatever. So I get that. Like, I kind of feel like Masai Ujiri should do the deal just because I'd like to see what he does with a blank slate.
Yeah,
and that's essentially what they give. Like, although I do get, I mean, I still believe in Rudy Gay in the sense that I think you can build a team with him. I would never.
He's a good player.
Yeah, I would never build a team around him, which I don't think Ujiri would do regardless. But I do kind of feel like, oh, it'd be cool to see what he does with a blank slate and, like, no cap issues.
Yeah, you don't say to yourself, okay, we're going to build this, we're going to tear this entire thing down. We're going to tear everything down around this team and be horrible and tank out and have Valanciunas and Terrence Ross and maybe DeRozan and build around a 26-year-old, about to be 27-year-old Rudy Gay.
Right.
You don't do that. That's just not what you do. You clear everything out and you start over. And this isn't about the 2014 draft. It's just about you clear everything and then start over again. And you saw that with Philly, and you're seeing it with Boston, even though Danny Ainge says they're not tanking.
Right. I'm not in debt. I'm just not making money.
Exactly. We're not trying to lose.
Right.
We're just avoiding wins. So yeah, you just clear space and then start over. And for Detroit, what is it? Simmer down. It's okay. You've got Greg Monroe and Andre Drummond. Like,
life on Dumars. I love him. This is great. I love Joe Dumars. He was a really exceptional GM for a while. And then
did he have a brain injury? Like,
I don't know, like, what.
Because that's the problem I have now. Is again, guys that like people that are new to the NBA are like. Like, wasn't Joe Dumars a great GM? It's like, well...
oh, another comparison. He's like the Maloofs of the GM world. When the market is great, and he had all that talent right away to build with, market's great, he puts together a team, he looks like one of the best in the league. And then the market crashes. And the market crash was that team getting old, and he didn't know how to rebuild it. So what I'm saying is, he needs to sell the team. Wait.
No. I think you look at the Maloofs, you say, oh, he said he was going to do one thing and then totally did another. So really, Kings GM Pete D'Alessandro is the Maloofs. So.
Yeah.
Love you, Pete, if you're listening. Good guy.
He's not. It's just a weird thing. Like, that's like, it seems like it's just spiraled out of control. Like when you have a pathological liar. I'm not saying Joe Dumars is a liar. I'm just saying he runs a team like one. Like you have a pattern, like thing, like one move happens and then one move, and he just can't get out of his own way at this point. Now, like, he'll make a good move, he'll draft Greg Monroe, he'll draft Andre Drummond, but then he keeps handcuffed, like trying to handcuff the team with all these terrible moves.
Oh, thank goodness this Rodney Stuckey deal and Charlie Villanueva contract are coming off the books. Whew. Now I can move it, so I've got Rudy Gay for $16 million. What are you? No, just sit down, Joe. No.
To be fair, maybe he doesn't trust himself with cap space. Maybe he's gun shy now, and he's just like,
after 2009, well, clearly I can't spend it well.
Yeah, he's like, I can't sign free agents. Look what happened. So I'll just trade.
I need an allowance. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. Joe Dumars needs an allowance. I think that covers the big stuff. Tony Allen back to the Grizzlies. I'm really happy.
Yeah,
it's where he needed to be. There's nowhere else that he was going to be better. I like the fact that the team is basically saying, look, we want to head in a different direction with Lionel. We're not totally throwing this thing away.
Yeah.
Now, they could turn around. If they do this and then they trade Zebo, I'm going to be a little annoyed. I'm going to be, and they're going to kick the tires on it. I'm going to be a little bothered by it.
Yeah, the Zebo thing's just really a difficult question. Like, I don't know that there's a right answer to it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you could keep him and still go, and he helps, like, he helps the culture of the team and everything that you've built, or that somebody else built. And if you let him go, like, you're getting out of that contract, you have more flexibility, you know, you don't have to worry about his injuries or anything. Like, I get it. Like, either way, I get it. I don't think that there's a bad move with him. It's just tough.
Even from a financial standpoint, I'm also just like, look, just make you need the money. Make the playoff revenue.
Right.
Just keep him, make the playoff revenue, and then move forward. The Dwight thing is it's at least, it's not over. It's never over. But, you know, Dwight's, the meetings are done.
The meetings are done. He's, Ken Berger, CBSSports.com, reporting that he's retreating to the mountains. Either Montana or Colorado.
Which makes it sound like he's got like a cavalry with him, and there's like a guy playing the kazoo doing the...
Well, my parents took me to a ranch in Montana for a week once when I was like 12. And so we had like a vacation there. So now I'm wondering if it's the same... Like, it was a nice ranch. I wonder if it's the same thing or same area. Because there... They did have a roadkill cafe. Yeah, I don't think they served roadkill. I think they just called it that. But it was near the ranch. It was, I think that's what it was called.
Was there a Chuck E. Cheese nearby?
There were no Chuck E. Cheeses. There wasn't a whole lot of civilization. But I did go horseback riding. I went fishing. It was fun. So I hope he goes there.
I think he's coming to Colorado because I went outside and it just kept, like, the sun kept going up and down here constantly, back and forth, day and night. And then it was cold one minute and hot. It just, you know. Oh,
I almost made a really inappropriate joke. And let's just move on.
Yeah, let's not go there. I know a joke you're about to make, and there's been a lot of them this week. I've dealt with a lot of people on Twitter thinking that they were funny people. That line of joking.
Yeah.
It's weird because everyone's like, well, where do you think he goes? And I in these radio interviews, I want to just be like, who the reportering knows, man? Like, who could tell? What makes you think I have any sort of indication that where Dwight Howard's going to go? And it's like, well, you're right. An NBA expert. No one knows. No one knows. He doesn't know.
Right. I did Dwight Howard power rankings yesterday.
Which are great, by the way.
Thank you. And even in that, like, I put them together, I ranked them, I was like, yeah, shot in the dark. Why not? This sounds right. Like, I could have put them in any order and I would have believed them.
Our buddy Ken Berger climbed up on the big old, you know, traditionalist, NBA traditionalist high horse that he tends to love and was like, the only option is the Lakers because they're the Lakers. And I was like, wow, bold move there. I like that there's also a report that Kobe basically said, well, they brought Hakeem and Drexler. We don't have room in this. There's not enough room in here for us to bring in all the Laker greats. And I'm thinking, also because Kareem hates all of you and Shaq thinks that all of you suck and you burn bridges with nearly every big man that you've ever played with.
And Shaq hates Dwight, so.
And Shaq hates Dwight, so that too, you know. Also the no room thing, but... Oh, and one of your other iconic guys was in another meeting for the Warriors to pitch him. So,
right.
You know, cool story, though.
But I bet Michael Cooper was available.
I just imagine like Kobe staring him down and doing the peer pressure thing. I can't remember what movie it's from, but the peer pressure thing where he's like, oh, it's from The Office where Dwight keeps doing it. Do it now. Sign it. Sign it. Sign it. Like over and over again. That's why I imagine Kobe's like, why are we even here? Sign the paper. Like, well, Kobe, I think there's some things that we need to... No, sign the paper. Kobe's, Black Mamba.
Kobe's like, you get to play with me. There's your pitch.
You're welcome. Like, yeah. I just imagine all Kobe's entire pitch is based around slogans from his commercials.
Should we hit the rest of the draft real quick?
Oh, yeah.
We did the first, like, I don't know, 18 picks yesterday.
Where did we drop off yesterday?
I think around Shane Larkin. Cleveland gets Sergei Karasev. I mean, I'm not going to pretend I know a lot about Sergei Karasev. I know what I saw on video. His number, like, apparently he's a good three-point shooter, but I don't know. I don't know if there's some kind of metric system involved. Like, I don't know how they do stats over there. Like, I don't know. Like, they say, oh, yeah, he's like a 41% three-point shooter. I'm like, sure, of course he is. Who's going to check that? But, you know, I don't know. A lot of people seem high on him. It's a good move. It means less Omri Caspi. You know, they feel no pressure to re-sign Omri Caspi. That's got to be a good move, right?
Your training camp battle is Sergei Karasev versus... no, sorry, it's Karazov. That's
oh,
what it
Karazov.
Is. Karazov. Sergei Karazov versus Alonzo G. So I'm really excited for that training camp battle.
That'll be really good. That's one for the ages.
I'm disappointed that the Bulls took Snell instead of Allen Crabbe.
Really? I love that they took Snell.
I like Snell too, but Allen Crabbe was perfect.
Oh, I see. I think Snell is exactly what they needed. That's a really nice addition. He can handle the ball a little bit. He can attack.
I like him too. I gave it A-. I love it. I'm just mad that Allen Crabbe fell.
Yeah.
That's all it comes down to. I mean, the Bulls got what they needed. They got the shooter that they were before. Now it's like, you realize their bench unit could wind up being like whoever their backup point. Oh, it could be like Kirk Heinrich, Tony Snell, Mike Dunleavy Jr., Taj Gibson, Nazi Muhammad.
That's a good second unit.
That's a pretty good second unit.
Yeah.
So
we talked about Gorgui Jang yesterday. I love him. Great pick. Exactly what the Wolves needed.
Can somebody please get a Corgi head on top of him?
Corgi Jang?
Everyone called him. Yeah, because everyone says Gorgui Jang, and I imagine him as like this big, massive, huge wingspan, and like a Corgi head.
Let's expand it. Corgi Jenga.
Wow!
You play Jenga with Corgis. The internet would love it.
It's an alarming image. I actually like the Nets deal. I did a 360 on Plumlee, and that actually is what I mean—not a 180, a 360. I started off liking him, and then really went down on him, and then finally came back around. And was like, yeah, no, he's a pretty good pick, and so I like him here. I think the spot's nice for him.
Yeah, especially 22. That's great value.
I am gonna crack up though when Mason Plumlee gets to camp and his first day with KG. I just really want to record it. Like, that's like
it's gonna be Rick Rickard all over again. Pacers Solomon Hill. This surprise.
Jesus, what a reach!
That's a reach, but I kind of like it.
Really?
They need wing scoring, and he can score. I think he's nice for the second unit. Like they never have to pretend to play Sam Young or Gerald Green again.
Yeah.
Like I think by the end of his, by the middle of his second season, I think he'll be a really valuable bench player for them.
Okay.
Tim Hardaway Jr. to the Knicks at 24. That was a good pick.
Yeah, I like that move a lot.
That's a great pick.
Yeah, that's what they need, and yeah, hopefully they'll just play him more. Like that's what they should do at shooting guard is go get some bigs, man, with your money and
yeah.
Save it. Don't re-sign JR. Just let Tim Hardaway gun. That's fine. The Clippers got Reggie Bullock. That's good too.
I love him. I mean, I was very high on him. Probably too high on him. And once I knew the Timberwolves were selling 26, and I didn't really care where he went. And the fact that they added Reggie Bullock, and then, you know, he's going to, you know, you can, he probably won't play much his rookie year, but you can throw him out there with Jared Dudley. Like, you can, he's a versatile enough wing that now they have so many options on the wing. Like, that's just a good pick.
It's Bullock, by the way, I found out, and I'm probably going to be making Bullock poppycock references next year, so okay. Whenever he does something stupid.
So I'll unfollow you.
Yeah, I don't know why you haven't yet. I don't understand how anyone follows me. I don't understand this. Like, everyone's like, you realize you're pretty terrible. I'm like, I know I'm terrible. Why does you follow me in the first place?
Especially, you get retweeted enough. I probably could get the gist of what you're saying.
You could. I'm serious. It's nothing but, like, caps lock catchphrases. That's all it is.
So Andre Roberson went to the Thunder?
I guess, man. That kid got transferred, like, 5 times. He got shipped around like a panda bear, touring the United States in a zoo tour. It's insane. I like him. I like him a lot.
Yeah, he can rebound.
Saw him last year. Yeah, I think he can contribute.
Yeah.
I like him better than I like the other guy they drafted.
Who?
Adams.
Oh, Steven. Oh, yeah. No, I think Roberson has a much better chance of cracking the rotation than Adams does.
Right. It's only like 15 picks, the differential.
Yeah. Your boy, Rudy Gobert, to the Jazz.
Yeah, the trade, because the Nuggets are cheap. Good for them.
Much like I wanted to see Anthony Davis and Nerlens Noel together, I really wanted to see JaVale and Rudy Gobert on the court together just for a minute. Just one minute.
That would be funny. And now everyone can get the Jazz fans can get really excited about Gobert and wonder why he's not playing more over Cantor. So the circle of life continues.
Just keep perpetuating it.
I saw this commercial the other day on the internet for one of the sites I went to. It was showing like an internet ad for the Broadway production of The Lion King. And it, like, I couldn't click out of it. I was mystified. I just sat there and watched this trailer for this Broadway show for like 5 minutes.
I still have never seen The Lion King. It's been on my seriously, like, this is not a lie. It's been on my DVR for 15 months. I've never seen it.
I mean, at this point, you're so old, though. I don't know if you can approach it with the same kind of childlike wonder you need in order to appreciate it.
I don't know. I could watch The Pants Off Aladdin. Wait, that came out wrong.
Yeah, let's move on. By the way, the Spurs taking Livio Jean-Charles is basically like one of those like independent comedy troupe sketches, right?
They're just screwing with us. There's no way that's a real guy.
The Spurs are basically like, wouldn't it be funny if we took the Spurs, if we took the French guy?
Yeah, that be like, really hey, 19-year-old French wing player, tell us we did that. Yeah, just like they're basically just saying, I dare you to judge this pick. Go ahead, give us a grade.
Phoenix getting Archie Goodwin, don't mind that at all.
Nice. Yeah, don't mind that. That's a good. Ooh, Archie Goodwin, Eric Bledsoe backcourt.
So I really do try. Someone was asking me like, do you really watch all this like video on all these guys? I'm like, yeah, I know. I really do try and take time during the year to catch up on these guys and be knowledgeable. In case people haven't noticed, I spend a lot of time trying to be good at this job. So I try and do research on all these guys. Nemanja Nedović, I have no idea. No clue.
I had no idea who he was before. I watched a bunch of tape on him. Is it still tape? I watched a bunch of YouTube on him afterwards. I like him.
Back in 2008, we were doing like a live chat, back when there were live chats before Twitter, on Yahoo. And we were previewing one of the playoff games, and I made a reference to, well, I went back and watched some tape on, and like Kelly Dwyer blew me up over it. He was like, really? What are you, an assistant coach? And I was like, oh, I do. Like, I realized how much of a tool I sound like saying that. So I've never used it. So from then on, I'm always like, I watched video of the individual.
Yeah, I watched on him. I like him. That guy's fun.
Cool.
He's explosive. He's got a good handle. I like guys that can dribble.
You do like dribbling is a big thing to you.
I like dribbling. I like shooting.
You like not so much with the passing or.
No, I do like passing. Passing's fun. I like a good full court bounce pass. That'll get the blood pumping.
You really just want you basically want the point guard to hold the ball and dribble for like 20 seconds and then make a great pass to a guy to shoot.
Yeah, that's all I want. That's all the offense I want. Yeah. I don't see why that's so. And yet I hate Nate Robinson.
I like Portland picking up Alan Crabb. That's a pretty good one for them.
Yes.
Wings are pretty stacked. They've got some depth now, which is good.
Yeah.
Charlotte, apparently. I didn't even hear about this. Charlotte apparently got Alex Abrines.
Oh, I had no idea. Good for them.
Good for them. Let's see. Isaiah Cannon wound up with Phoenix. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he and Kendall Marshall can battle to not play.
Does the winner of the battle get to not play? Is that how that works?
You don't have to play tonight. I like Glenn Rice Jr. for Washington. I think that's a sneaky pick.
Yes, I like that as well. He's a first-round talent. To get him in a trade when he was in a second-round contract, like that's just a good value. That's the thing. I think you have to approach a lot of this draft as like the value of when guys got him.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm a little surprised Withy fell all the way down.
I am too. I thought he was for sure a first-round guy. Like, he's a really awesome defender.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Thunder picked up Abrines. I was wrong on that.
Oh, okay.
It says from Charlotte via Oklahoma City, Boston, Houston.
Gotcha.
That makes a lot of difference in our world.
Oh, Eric Green went somewhere. He went way too low as well.
Yeah, he did. He plummeted. He went all the way down to 46 and wound up with... he's in Denver. That's
Ooh.
Right.
Ooh, good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about watching him next year. That's going to be fun. They need a backup point guard. I'm really excited to watch him sit on the bench while Andre Miller messes up possessions. So that's
Does Brian Shaw love Andre Miller? Well, I guess they're the same age.
Man, Miller's got some sort of voodoo going on. I said this last time on Twitter and got a lot of retweets, so I want to ask you about it. I'm dead serious about this. If you're a GM and you have like an asset that you're trying to trade and try to make a deal and improve your team, and the phone rings and you're excited, you're like, ooh, it's the GM phone, and you look over and it's Masai Ujiri, I say throw the phone out the window and change your number.
I don't think he's as much of a god as you do, but...
No, but that's the thing. I don't think he's a god. I said this last night. It's not that I think Ujiri does anything. It's that people get stupid around him.
I would feel a little
bit
like...
It's like Ujiri calls and is like, hey, I know that you probably don't want him, but I've got this overpaid player that I've really got to dump the last couple of years of his contract. He contributes almost nothing and doesn't have a really great efficiency. He's really not worth what he's getting paid. He's not a bad player, but I'll just take whatever trash that you have. And the other GM is like, let me stop you right there. Can I throw in some picks for you?
I think that I would kind of feel the same way as like if you're a politician or a business owner and the Daily Show comes to interview you, you have to like start thinking, oh crap, what did I do?
Yeah, no, you're not like, oh, they just want to get some background info. No,
no,
come on,
no,
man.
They're after you. We got to wrap this up.
Oh, right. Okay.
I've got a second podcast. This one will be not coming out today. It'll be for 4th of July and maybe Friday. We'll see if I can get a podcast in Friday. But yeah, I think you'll like the guest. Should I just say the guest? This will be out. Yeah. Lang Whitaker's going to be on.
Hey, Lang.
The famous Lang Whitaker, now of NBA.com.
Now of NBA.com.
And he's in a commercial. He's in a Kevin Durant commercial.
He's a dude, man.
Yeah, he's a big time player in this business.
Yeah. Good nice guy, too. Really, really nice guy. He's
great
always,
guy. Threw a Mountain Dew bottle at me, which we're going to discuss at the finals.
Yeah. Because, he made small talk. He's one of the few people that makes small talk with me whenever I run into him, because most people are just like, think I'm weird, so
yep.
and he makes an effort. I really appreciate that from Lang.
Yeah. So
okay. Well, I guess
free agency news, CBSSports.com.
Yeah, we'll have all your stuff up. We have continuing coverage of the Dwight Mayer, and lots of fun stuff to continue on. So hey. Thanks, Zach. Have a great 4th of July weekend.
Hey, you too. Happy America Day.